If you want to read along, turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Last week I spoke on the glory of God. I will do, Lord willing, the same this morning. But what I will do, rather than reading the passage at length, I want to read three verses. Now we'll probably go back and read the passage as I go through a few points here. Ephesians chapter 1, listen to what Paul writes in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now listen to verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, speaking of the sealing of the Spirit of God in verse 13, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I want to ask you a question. Why does God save sinners?
Amen.
If you ask that question out here, even this morning, you'd probably get 100 different answers, if not more. There's one reason why God Almighty saves sinners.
Yes, sir.
To bring glory and honor to Himself.
Amen.
God certainly has pity toward His people, but God does not save us out of pity.
Exactly.
God saves us to glorify Himself.
Yeah.
Think of it. Set your heart and mind on it this morning. I don't say this just as some cliche, as some mere introduction. Set your hearts and minds on it. God's glory, the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
I do not understand that as I should. And I know I cannot express it as it ought to be expressed. And yet, God has ordained that clay pots be the messengers to declare His glory. Now last week we've seen this. I will try to be brief. But we've seen this. God is glorious.
Yes, sir.
He is intrinsic glory. He is full glory. He is revealed glory. He is both creator and creative glory. Any glory that there is, God created it. There is righteous glory. There is revelatory glory. There is distinct glory. God is essential glory. And you could go on down the list. But there's something else. It's what I mentioned last week. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, men change and exchange God's glory for a lie. They turned the glory of God into and made it like unto corruptible beasts.
Yeah.
Four-footed beasts and fowls and creeping things. Men change and exchange God's glory. And that's you and me by nature.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let us not read Romans chapter 1 and think about them out there. Yeah. Let us read Romans chapter 1 and think about me in here by nature. Men change and exchange God's glory. That glory that Paul said was manifest both in us and to us. How that's all true doesn't matter. God says it's so. That glory was manifest in us and to us, seen and understood even by the things that are made, by creation. And if, now there's some who God has, because Paul said He did. And if God gives me up, If God gives me over to a reprobate mind, then my distortion of God's glory will turn to my utter damnation.
Yes, sir.
That's what Romans chapter 1 teaches.
Yes, sir. Right.
But, now there's one of those buts, John. I don't want to leave it there.
Exactly.
Because this book does not leave it there. But God's glory does not hinge, nor is it held up by, corrupt, fallen, Adamic humanity. As a matter of fact, even our lies do not change God essentially.
That's right.
They do not personally change God's glory. What we do is take the glory of God and we then transfer it onto something else.
Yeah.
That's what we're actually in effect trying to do. And in so doing, we're lying on God. God's glory doesn't hinge on us. And I'm glad for that. As a matter of fact, God's glory doesn't even hinge on me standing here before you this morning preaching the truth. God's glory doesn't hinge on corrupt, fallen, Adamic humanity. Even God's glory and salvation. No, let me change that. Especially God's glory in salvation. I say this with sadness of heart, though it may not seem like it. But as God is my witness, I say this with sadness of heart. Most people, when they talk about God's glory and then begin to talk about salvation, they then try to dethrone God.
You're right.
They don't speak of salvation in light of God's glory. They speak of salvation in light of man's will.
You're right.
But according to the Apostle Paul, I'll take his side. Doesn't matter. It's God's side. According to the Apostle Paul, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
Salvation hinges on God.
Amen.
Now there are 8 things I want to give you from Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. I will try to be brief, but some of these things I will merely mention. I will summarize and move on to the ones I want to try to deal with in particular this morning. Number one, there are 8 things there. Number one, the Father's predestination and election and actual blessing of a people was and is secured according to God's sovereign will to the praise of the glory of His grace.
Amen.
Now let's read the whole thing. Actually, when I say the whole, let's read the whole thing of this statement. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as. That is, there's a foundation from which these blessings flow.
Yes.
According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. But election itself is not the first thing. He then says, having predestinated. So in God's order, though not in time, in God's order, God presents it to us this way. Predestination, election, blessing. Now Paul starts with the blessing, then goes to the election, to the predestination. But the wording lets us know the order in God's purpose is predestination, election, and blessing. Then he says, thus says, having, that is, He chose us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. How? According to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace.
Amen.
Why here? He mentions glory actually 4 times. I read 3 of them in chapter 1. At least 4 times. I read the first 3. Why hear the glory of His grace?
Yeah.
The other two, he just says, to the praise of his glory, verse 12. Verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. But in the first one, he specifically is moved by the Spirit of God to write to the praise of the glory of his grace. Two things. First of all, it is not because the second two have nothing to do with grace. The second two have as much to do with grace as the first one does. But and this is my thoughts on the matter. One reason why he states it to the praise of the glory of his grace is God Almighty. God does know this. He knows how corrupt, how deceitful, how much we love lies rather than truth. And most people talk about grace, yeah, Jesus, grace. Preaching the gospel, believing the gospel, grace. Sealing by the Spirit, yeah, grace. But now election and predestination, God looked into the future and seen what you would do. But from the get-go, the Apostle Paul, being moved by the Spirit of God, speaking about the Father's work.
Yes, sir.
The triune God is at work here, but here he's concentrating mainly on the Father's work, and he wants us to be no doubt that the Father's work of predestinating, electing, and blessing in Christ is totally what? By his grace.
Amen.
Paul says concerning the election, he calls it in Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, he says it is the election of grace.
Amen.
Now this idea, and I used to be under that deception years ago. The most common idea amongst pseudo-Christianity is that God looked into the future, seeing who would believe, seeing who would give their heart to the Lord, seeing who would repent, and whatever, who would be baptized. And God seeing what man would do, and God chose based upon what man would do. That is what they call a lie. Because first of all, we were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of God's will, and those who were already predestinated, God said, I chose them in Christ.
Yeah.
And those I chose in Christ, I've blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's the order.
Amen.
That settles it.
Exactly.
All the books of argument about it or against it in the past were already refuted when Paul wrote this right here. You don't need a book of theology to find out the order of God. Just read this epistle right here. Two things here under this first one. That's the Father's predestination and election and actual blessing of a people was and is secured according to God's sovereign will. For what reason? To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Amen.
First of all, those who reject predestination and election. And I said reject it. I'm not talking about knowing all about it. I probably don't know all about it. I don't understand it all. I can't make it all fit. But those who reject predestination and election, while espousing blessing, they despise the glory of God's grace. You can't pick and choose what parts you want of it and call it grace and reject the other part of it. These three things, predestination, election, and blessing, are so melded together, you cannot separate them without lying on God. There is a difference between rejecting and knowing. I understand that. It's not that a person has to know all these things. But as we will see in a moment, God Almighty does reveal these things to those he saves. See, God Almighty saves sinners, and then God lets those sinners know, this is how I saved you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We'll see Paul say that.
Yes.
Not in those words, but we'll read that. First, so that's the first thing under this first heading. Those who reject. I'm talking about reject. I've talked to people they get angry when you mention predestination and election. You mean, then they'll go off of something.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean is what this says right here.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Those who reject that, they are rejecting Christ himself. Because God predestinated unto adoption by Jesus Christ. God chose in Christ. The spiritual blessings flow how? In Christ. So if you reject any of those three things, you are in truth, you are in fact, I should better say, you're rejecting Christ. This ain't about just some doctrine. Well, what do you believe? It ain't about what you believe, it's about who you believe.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. We are too tough. I'm not near as tough as God. Secondly, those who espouse predestination and election, while belittling, ignoring, or etherealizing blessing, they mock the glory of God's grace. See, there are those out there who say we believe in predestination and election, but all that other stuff is ethereal. I mean, if you're one of the elect, you'll wake up in heaven one day and everything will be fine and dandy. It don't work that way.
Exactly right.
Now, there are those who accuse those who preach the truth of teaching that, but that's not what we teach. We teach predestination, election, and then spiritual blessings.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because that's what the book teaches.
Yeah.
That's the whole of God's purpose, not just one part.
Exactly.
I mean, there are those who even go as far as to say, there are some who are predestinated and elected, and they're given life by the Spirit of God, but they're never converted, and they go to heaven just because they're elect, predestinate, and regenerated. Now, let me say this. Regeneration must precede conversion. But God don't regenerate you so you can go to the kingdom of heaven. He regenerates. He gives the new birth, the birth from above, so first of all, you can see it. John chapter 3, and enter it, John chapter 3.
Amen.
Regeneration is not an end in itself. God regenerates men and women so that they can see.
Amen. That's right. Exactly.
And those who then see will what? Enter. And you're going to enter by faith before you ever enter it with your body.
Yes.
That's right. Those who espouse predestination and election, while etherealizing, making it just, it's out there, it's nice. We got spiritual blessings, but we really don't know what they are. Paul lists several of them right here.
Yeah.
And for years when I read this, I thought, well, what are the spiritual blessings? And they're right here in front of me.
Yeah.
You know? Predestination's one of them.
That's right.
Election's another one.
Yes, sir.
Redemption's another one.
Yes.
Forgiveness of sins is another one. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that's another one.
Amen.
Love for the saints, that's another one. And on and on and on. Those who espouse predestination and election while etherealizing, denying, ignoring, or whatever, the blessings, they're actually mocking the glory of God's grace. They're actually mocking Christ. Christ did not come to this world just so we could take a few people to heaven. He could have done that from the get-go.
That's right.
Right? He came to redeem sinners from their sin.
That's right.
And in so doing, bring honor and glory to God.
Amen.
I say this, and what I'm about to say, I use this person as the illustration for two reasons. One, to encourage that person to just keep on keeping on. And secondly, to encourage everybody else in this light. I've been with somebody who said they believed in free sovereign grace, but come to find out later they really didn't. My wife has been under fire lately. And one of the, you begin to talk to someone about a specific point of Scripture, a specific truth of Scripture, a specific doctrine of Scripture. And you know what she's heard lately? From more than one person. Well, you don't know it all. And she thinks within her own mind, I'm not trying to tell you at all, just this one point.
Yep, exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know what that is when people do that? It's a smokescreen.
Oh, yeah.
If you're dealing with predestination, if you're talking about that doctrine in particular, and somebody says, well, you don't know it all, just tell them, I'm not trying to tell you at all, just this one little bit, and you don't even want that.
Exactly.
It's a smokescreen. It's not about knowing it all. Sadly, and I say this with sadness of heart, there are many that even I personally am aware of that talk about, I believe in sovereign grace. But they never talk anything about conversion. A change of mind, a change of heart, a change of walk, a change of lifestyle. It's like, well, as long as I'm one of the elect, everything will be fine. No, if you're one of the elect, God Almighty is going to send His Spirit to you. He's going to send the gospel preacher to you. And God Almighty is going to turn your life upside down.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And He will bow you before Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
One specifically told my wife Penny just the other day, well, I believed in sovereign grace before so-and-so did. Well, Saul of Tarsus believed in sovereign grace before that person did.
There you go. Yeah.
Peter believed in sovereign grace before Paul did. That's got nothing to do with anything.
Exactly.
They never talk about being bowed to the person of Christ. They talk about coming to believe some doctrine.
Yeah.
Coming to believe something. Salvation is the whole thing. And it's all wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you've missed Him, you've missed it all. I don't care if you believe in predestination and election, doctrinally, theologically, if you miss Christ, you missed it all. Secondly, but before I give you the second one, let me say this. These spiritual blessings, because you see the order, predestination, election, spiritual blessings. Okay? These spiritual blessings are concrete and real. I say that metaphorically when I say concrete.
Amen.
But they're real.
Yes.
Here's the second thing. There is redemption through Christ's blood. That's one of the spiritual blessings.
Yes, sir. Amen.
His blood was real. Mm-hmm. It was real blood. Yes. Real human blood.
Yeah.
Which even is called the blood of God Almighty Himself.
Yes, sir.
That's an amazing statement.
Yeah. Amen.
What is it? Acts 27. Paul calls the blood of human nature the very blood of God. That God redeemed the church with His own blood.
Amen.
But it was real human blood.
Yeah.
It wasn't ethereal, Joe. It wasn't make-believe. I think that's what some of the Arians years ago taught.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus wasn't really a human. He just looked like He was. No, He was a real man.
Yes, sir.
Real flesh and blood. And it was real blood, and it was real redemption. Real redemption. Secondly, there is forgiveness of sins. And the sad part is, a lot of these people that I'm talking about, the ones that some of my wife talks to, I talk to them too, some of them. You know, you've probably talked to them too. To them, it's like sin is some fairy tale, some archaic thing. No, sin is the reality of my soul.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I don't just commit sin. I am sin. I'm not just in darkness. I am darkness.
Yeah.
I'm not just on the wrong road. I am the wrong road.
Oh, yeah.
There is, Paul says here, verse 6 and 7, there is forgiveness of sin. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. How much so? According to the riches. Now, why didn't it say grace?
Yeah.
Because we're so dull, we need to have it hammered home to us.
Yeah.
According to the riches. We understand something about that. If we don't got it, we want it. Riches, right? We know at least the pursuit of it, the desire of it. But Paul uses it here to describe what? Even God's grace. The riches of His grace. I am reminded, as I thought about this, of, now see, I can't even think of his name, Tim James. When you talk about the mercy of God, and someone says, well, let God be merciful to you.
Yeah.
Let God, do you understand what an insult that is?
Yeah, exactly.
If someone offends you, then they're supposed to come to you and say, I'm going to let you show me mercy.
Yeah, right.
The first thing you want to do is just draw back and show them a little justice. Pop! No, mercy comes from the one offended.
Yes.
Absolutely, completely, or it's not mercy.
Exactly.
And grace comes totally from without side that which has been gracious toward. God is the God of all grace. Therefore, God didn't look into the future and see a little bit of grace in you.
Exactly.
He purposed in his own sovereign will to give grace to a people.
Amen.
Mm. There's forgiveness of sin, real sin and real forgiveness. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He suffered the wrath and judgment of God Almighty when he was on that tree. God dealt with sin literally, actually, and in reality.
Amen.
Not just in theory.
Exactly.
Number four, there is a true, clear, practical acumen. Wisdom, that's what he calls it here. And mental insight, prudence, he writes here, abounded toward us because God made known unto us the mystery of his will. Look at it. Now let's read it. Wherein? Wherein what? Wherein all this?
Yeah.
The whole thing. What? Go back. Now go backwards. Forgiveness, redemption, being accepted in the beloved, being to the praise of the glory of his grace, being predestinated, being chosen, being blessed. Wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. In other words, when God saves a sinner, God will teach that sinner how he saved the sinner.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The reason most people reject predestination, because they weren't saved having anything to do with predestination. The reason they reject election, the reason they reject blood, redemption, the reason they reject true forgiveness, well, they ain't never really experienced any of those things.
You're right.
And let me tell you something, election is an experience.
Yeah.
You know how I know that? God chose in Christ before the world began. But it also says in Acts 13:48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Amen.
Election rushes forth. Predestination rushes forth. Redemption by blood rushes forth. Forgiveness of sins rushes forth into an individual, and they believe it.
Amen.
They believe it. They know about it, having made known.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to know to be saved any more than you had to know to be elected.
That's right.
But those got elected, he's going to let them know in time, you've been elected. You've been predestinated. And Paul even says that to the Thessalonians. Knowing, brethren, your election of God. How could you know that? We weren't around. That was in eternity.
Yeah.
When no one but God, the triune God himself, existed. And he wrote these names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Joe, back then.
Yes, sir.
How can we know that God chose me then? We haven't seen the book. As far as I know, it's still sealed. With seven seals, possibly. How do we know? Paul says, knowing your election of God. Why? Because our gospel didn't come to you just as some word.
It
came to you in power and much assurance. You became followers of us and the Lord.
There you go.
You don't just follow the Lord and then go your own merry way. You follow the Lord and God's people too.
That's right.
You either with both or you ain't with either one.
Right.
Well, I'm with God's people, but I don't know if I believe all that. You ain't one of God's people then. At least you've never been brought to see it yet. But if you're one of these here Paul's talking about, you will be. Wherein he bounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And look, here's what, boy, I'm sure glad I got a great preacher. You ought to be glad you got a great preacher. You ought to thank God for it. Some places don't have one all the time. But here's what it hinges on. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He's going to see to it that it comes to fruition.
Yes, sir.
Those he's saving, he's going to manifest the mystery of his will to them. It's going to happen. That lets me know that if I know Christ, God Almighty made sure it happened.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. That's all. You know, I thank God for Joe Galusik. I thank God for Earl Cochran. As my heart and mind bears witness before God, but it didn't hinge on them. It hinged on God. And he'll take a Jonah. And Lord, I don't know if you want to be a Jonah or somebody else, Joe. He'll take a Jonah and make a Jonah come to you.
Right.
You hear what I said? Make him against his will.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah didn't want to go down yon way. He went that way.
Right.
And people say he ran from God. No, he didn't. He ran into God.
Right.
He went that way because he thought God wasn't that way. He found out God was already over there.
That's right.
Didn't he? And then God turned him right around and sent him right back to where God had purposed for him to go. Why? Because he, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, it didn't hinge on Jonah. It don't hinge on me. It don't hinge on Joe. It don't hinge on anybody else.
That's right.
It all rests in God.
Amen.
That's number four. Number five, there will be a real ingathering together. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. One day it's all going to kind of come to a head. It's all going to be wound up.
Yes, sir.
And finally we're going to say, you know what? This was real after all. You know?
Right.
This was real. And I remember Scott Richardson saying something along this line, you know, when you finally get there, when God winds it all up and you're there and you see the masses of the elect, a number which no man can number. Not just some little small group, it's a number which no man can number.
Exactly.
Scott Richardson say, I figure I'm going to say something like, bless God, I really made it. But you know what? We're going to make it because God Almighty determined. He done sent the forerunner there saying the rest of them's coming.
That's right.
Because I'm here. Christ is the forerunner. What's the forerunner? He's the one that goes in first and says the rest of them are coming.
Amen.
And we read here that we're coming because of him.
That's right.
Because of him. There will be an ingathering one day. Number six, an inheritance is obtained in Christ by predestination.
That's
right. See it? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestined, or we could say having been, predestination came first, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Paul doesn't keep saying it over and over just to be repetitive. He keeps saying it over and over because we're so prone to forget it. We're so prone to want to turn somewhere else. He keeps saying it's all of God, it's all of God, all of God.
Amen.
All of God. But notice, an inheritance is obtained being predestinated. So if you've been predestinated, you will, sometime another in time, obtain an inheritance. You see it? And God don't give inheritances and then just let you try to figure out what it is.
You're right.
He reveals to you, one, who it is.
Yes.
What it's all about. There will be this real ingathering. There is an inheritance that is obtained in Christ by predestination. Number seven, this, all of this, constitutes the predestinated themselves as objects of praise to God's glory. See it? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
We.
That's right.
We.
Yeah.
The very people.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 8, I forget the verse, but Paul puts it this way, there's going to be a glory revealed in us.
Yes, sir.
That boggles my mind. Not just to us. The glory's already been revealed to us.
Yes.
But one day, bless God, the glory shall be revealed in us. I will be done with me. Some of you give me trouble. But you ain't nothing compared to me. I can avoid you. I can't avoid me.
There you go.
Well, I can avoid you for a while. You understand? My problem's not you. My problem's not the devil. My problem wasn't even Adam.
Yeah.
My problem's me.
Yeah,
that's my chief problem. My problem's not the world.
Yeah.
My problem's not the bars and the brothel. That's not my problem. It's me. Yeah. Adam fell in the garden and they wasn't a brothel or a bar one around.
That's exactly right.
Was they? There was no other woman for him to go lusting after.
That's right.
Just one and he still fell.
Yeah.
How much more me and all of this morass and all of this in here? An inheritance. But this constitutes inheritance is obtained in Christ by predestination. But this all constitutes that the predestinated themselves, they're the objects that are going to be to the praise of His glory. Now here's the last one. These spiritual blessings include hearing the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
That's the good news, that Christ has saved somebody.
Amen.
Hearing the word of truth, trusting, and I'm going to put it this way, trusting / believing.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't trust Him. They believe in Jesus and trust themselves.
Yeah, you're right.
You see what I'm saying now? That's the point I'm trying to... This believing Paul's talking about is associated, tied up with, just read it, with trusting.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the trusting has to do with belief, not just believing in Him, believing Him.
Yes.
Believing Him. So these spiritual blessings include hearing the word of truth, trusting and believing Christ, being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the down payment and guarantee until final completion of this redemption thing.
Amen.
That's what he says in verse 13 and 14. Here's my summary. These are not three glories.
Yeah.
See, that's what some people try to make. These are three glories, and you pick out which one you like best, or you take all three if you want them. You see what I'm saying? These are one glory.
That's right.
Manifested in the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
It's one glory. You either got them all or you got none.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? You can't say, I like that glory, but I like the glory of the Father choosing. I don't know much about that redemption thing. Now, you know, if God chose the people, and the reason He had to choose us in Christ, because there wasn't nothing in us to choose.
Yeah, that's right.
God hates all workers of iniquity. I mean, my wife, God help her. God encourage her to keep on going on. Is now having someone who says they believe in sovereign grace come unto her and say, well, God hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. That's the lie I was under back when I was in false religion. These are people who say they believe in sovereign grace espousing this stuff now. I'm like, David, I'm right. It's like, what's wrong? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to stand here and condemn, but something's wrong, folks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something's wrong. No, God, you know, God doesn't love sinners. God loves people who are sinners.
That's right.
Yeah. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't say God loves sinners. God hates all workers of iniquity. God loves the people. How? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. He just keeps saying it over and over. Christ. 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 And you know, the natural mind says, I'm tired of hearing about Christ. That's your problem.
Amen.
I need to keep hearing about Christ. That's my only hope.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when I look in here at me, I see the lake of fire, licking flames toward my soul. I deserve it. You know, even after all this, Norris, if God said, you've got to go to hell because of my law, I got to go to hell. Even if I've served God all my life, because of my sin, I'd have to go to hell. Well, I believed in the Lord. I repented. But what about your sin?
Yeah.
What about your sin? So again, I say these are not three glories here. There is one glory manifest in the one triune God. I either partake of them all or I have no claim to even one part of it.
Amen.
Yeah. I either partake of them all. Now, God is going to teach His people in His time. He's going to make known the mystery of His will in His good time. But He is doing that. Now, Paul's writing to a people who already understood that. Granted. But let me tell you something. You don't pick and choose what parts you want of God's salvation.
Exactly.
God didn't leave it up to... It's not a crapshoot.
Yeah. Right.
It's not out there. It's not three little shells in front of you and you pick which ones you want. It's either all or nothing.
Exactly.
To put it there, either God saves you or you'll never be saved.
Amen.
And God will save you in Christ. and you'll never be saved. Father, as we continue, as we take this table, may it truly, Lord, be in remembrance of your Son. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Paul Edward Jr., would y'all come and take the... Come on here now, before they...